अजाते स्त्रसतां तेषाम् उपलम्भाद्वियन्ति ये जातिदोषान् सेत्स्यन्ति दोषोऽप्यल्पो भविष्यति। Being ignorant is very natural, and it is a common human problem. It is not for only some people. Therefore, ignorance caused delusion is also very natural. Therefore, delusion caused erroneous perception, is also mistaking the non-real for reality is also very natural. Therefore, depending upon the non-real world, mistaking it for reality, for one's security is also very natural. So, nothing unnatural here. But still, being dependent upon the world for security and happiness also, one continues to be insecure, then that is where the question comes, where is the security? The search comes. Then the Upanishad teaches what? There is no security. The world is neither the source of insecurity nor is it the source of security, because the world is not there really. It is the knowledge of the truth which is the only means. Knowledge of the truth is the only means. Ekaiva margaha. Only means is what? Knowledge. Therefore, Upanishad teaches, gives you the vision of the truth. But the wake out vision of the truth, the fact you arrive at is, there is no jagat, there is no jiva, only the reality Brahman. All that is, there is only Brahma. But this, when you say all that is, there is only Brahma, you are not there, is a very frightening thing. You know why? Because one has to lose one's own identity. It is little frightening for the people who are not prepared, not yet emotionally ready. So people who are not yet emotionally stable, intellectually sharp, which means who are still unprepared, for them it is a very frightening thing. Therefore, in order to help them, you need to lean on something. Like when there is a tender, delicate creeper which cannot stand by itself, as long as the stem is very, very thin, you need to put a stick to lean on. When the stem becomes stronger, then you can remove this, isn't it? The same way here also. As long as you are emotionally very, very weak, emotionally not strong, you need to hold on to something. Therefore, the Upanishad says what? When it starts teaching, it says, yes, there is the jagat. The jagat has come into existence from that. And then adhyaropa apavada prakriya. Very prakriya is the method of unfoldment of itself, the nature of reality, the Brahman. That method itself is introduced here as what? This is called karanakarya prakriya, srishti prakriya, adhyaropa apavada prakriya. All these words are used to mean there's only one prakriya, where there is jagat. There is jagat means what? This jagat is a karyam. When you say this is superimposition of what? The status of the universe being the creation. Created. The universe being effect. The status is attributed to the universe. this universe is a product. It is a karya, means what? The status is attributed. This is what we say adhyaropa. Then, okay, if the universe is creation, this is the universe which is creation, where has it come from? Then you say what? Brahma karanam, it has come from Brahman. Then it is second step of attribution. Isn't it? You attribute the status of being the cause of this universe, isn't it? Even to what? Brahman. So Brahman is given the status of being the cause of this universe. Then it is adhyaropa. Thereafter you say what? When you see, if the whole universe is the product of Brahman, it is the karyam, Brahman is karanam, then you understand between the cause and the cause and the effect, there is no sambandha, connection is not there, relationship is not possible because they are not two. Substantially one, even though conditionally they are two, substantially one. When you resolve, then you say the whole universe is Brahman. When you say, you take what? Universe being the effect. The status of being the effect attributed to the Jagat, you take it away. That is negation. There afterwards you say what? There's only Brahman means. The effect itself is not there. Where is the question of Brahman enjoying the status of being the cause? Therefore, you remove the causal status attributed to Brahman also. And finally you say, there is no karanam, there is no karyam, there is no cause or effect. What is there is only Brahma. Not two, they are not two. Consciousness, Brahman, and Jagat, the matter, are not two. They are not one also. Are they one? They are not one. Why? Water is not the ocean, therefore they are not one. But what is ocean? Ocean is water. Therefore what? They are not two. They are neither one, not two. They are non-dual, secondless reality. They are not two. Therefore we say what? Non-dual, secondless reality. Similarly, Brahman is not the Jagat. Therefore what? Brahman is distinct from Jagat. Consciousness is distinct from the universe. Therefore it is, they are not one. But what is Jagat? Jagat has no independent existence outside of consciousness. Universe is consciousness. Jagat is consciousness. Therefore we say what? They are not two. Therefore, what is? There is only Advayam, Advitiyam, Brahma, Chaitanyam. Ekam, Advayam, Advitiyam, Brahma. Only secondless, non-dual reality, Brahman. Even though this is the fact revealed by the Upanishad, Upanishad itself, Veda Shastra itself, initially introduces the Brahman, introduces the Brahman as the Karanam, introduces the creation. Why? Because so that it will be easy for the emotionally weak people to become stronger and steadier. So now he says, suppose when such thing is introduced by the Shastram, when you talk about the creation, you have to talk about the creator. When the universe introduces the creation, the creator also is introduced. And who is the creator? We give it a status as God, Lord, creator of this universe is God. There is no real creator other than the truth. There is no creation other than the truth. In fact, there is neither creator nor creator. There is only the truth. Isn't it? Therefore, the creator is introduced, then we are asked to, isn't it? When we are taught from childhood to worship, suppose whatever, all the people of different cultures, all of us were taught to worship and pray. Doesn't matter how we worship, what we worship, who is the God we are worshipping, that may be different. But still, that worship is something which has been introduced. Worship is there. Veda Shastram introduces. But in the long run, what happens? Even though this, the Ishvara, worship, prayer, the creation, all these things, even though they're all mithya, still Upanishad introduces, prescribes for the sake of our own emotional growth, an intellectual growth of a sharpness, so that we will be prepared enough to understand this subtler, much subtler teaching in fact, and to be able to accept the fact as a fact, isn't it? Thereby we will be most mature people, we become the mature people. So, this Shruti also introduces, it's like giving us, it's like any doctor giving us the antibiotics. Sometimes some, microbes, minute, the bacteria, such things, they have to be destroyed. Means this doctor has to prescribe very, very strong antibiotics. What choice does the doctor have to help you get rid of your bacteria from the body? No way. Antibiotics. But those antibiotics definitely create what? Some side effects. But doctor knows it will cause some side effects. Knowing the side effects also, to help to save the person's life, sometimes the doctors have to prescribe you antibiotics. Similarly here also, Upanishad knows, if we introduce this Ishvara concept, introduce Bhagavan, Ishvara, the creation, Devatas, worship, prayer, etc., it will cause some side effects. And those effects are not really desirable, but still doesn't matter. Antibiotics will save the person. Otherwise, she'll go mad completely. Upanishad also introduces them. When the antibiotics, given side effects are there, similarly, when the universe is discussed by the Upanishad itself, Ishvara is introduced, worship is introduced, yajnas and rituals are prescribed in the whole Karma Kanda. Upanishad itself says, come on, do this yajna, get this benefit, go to Swargaloka, you can see all the, enjoy the heavenly pleasures. Upanishad itself encourages means, and then how can we say, why should Upanishad talk about the Swargaloka, heavenly pleasures and all that if it is not real? So introduces, and we get so engrossed in that, then finally what happens? We get so entangled with the forms we worship. That is the side effect, okay? What happens? It is difficult to, overcome the attachment to the forms we worship, the forms of worship, the cultural forms. They're very important. Cultural forms are very important. But still, we should know the advantages, we should know the limitation of it. We hold on to that. It's difficult to get over that. Even great saint like Tyagaraja Swami, when he was great saint, his knowledge of music was amazing. The nuances, he himself was a discoverer of many ragas. Such a great Mahatma, but he was worshipping on Rama's Murti, and when he got lost, he really was so shattered by that, because emotionally the attachment to the Murti, Rama's form, Murti he was worshipping, he was so much attached to that initially. Later on he overcame that. That's a different thing. Suppose sometimes all of us get attached to the forms we worship. People go all the way back to Vayalur to worship Murugan. Locally Murugan is available. But still book the flight ticket and go back to Vayalur. Now, that Murugan only I have to worship, not this local Murugan. Once in a while it's okay. I go here, but still, how can I not go to Vayalur Murugan? Because from childhood I used to go there, visit there. Kadirhamattu Murugan. People want to go. Why? Because that is how the worship is so important. Without the worship, without the prayer, without Navagraha Pradakshinam, without all of them, we would have all gone mad, really. Why? Because they help us when all difficult times come in life. Of course, life will be not only, you know, the path of roses. There'll be definitely thorns also. Then we go to the astrology, consult the astrologers, talk to the astrologers. They say some parihara pujas. Go to this temple, do this pariharam, and go to navagraha, do navagraha pradakshina. All those things help you from becoming absolutely totally insane. Because some hope you manage, hope for a better life, and you manage. Which means what? Then the time, bad time goes, you overcome it. You have not gone mad. Isn't it? It's always, see, instead of making you, see, Upanishad wants to make you absolutely normally normal person. We are now normally abnormal. We would have become abnormally abnormal. In order to prevent us from becoming abnormally abnormal, in order to make us normally normal, Upanishad introduces all these things. Understand? So holding on to these things, somehow we manage, and finally what? And there will be a time, and then naal and seyum, kol and seyum, then now he can sing. So we have to go on, isn't it? Only after Sarvam Brahma you can sing that, they sing that. Where is that, all those things? You don't need to have all that. It's easy to do those things. Now what I'm saying here, that is why Ajatehe Trasatam. Only for such people who cannot handle the fact that there's nothing is here. Only Brahman is here. Nothing is, but no, not nothing is. Now we are not Shunyavadis, okay? When you say there is no Jagat, there is nothing, you are also not there. There is only Brahma. You know? Therefore, very frightening. It's not easy. Therefore, Upanishad introduces. This is the answer given by Gaudapada Acharya. Let us see what he says here. And so they become emotionally entangled with the forms of worship, entangled with the universe also. Why Upanishad introduces? One of the reasons he gives here. Ajatehe trasatam tesham. Okay, these people, viyanti means they always argue against. No, Viruddham yanti. Viruvyanti means they always talk against. About what? Against this non-creation. The topic of non-creation. If you say there's no creation, they always argue against you, saying what? There is creation, creation is real. For them, they're so strong in their view that there is creation is real. And such people, because if you say there's no recreation, what will they hold on to? Nothing to hold on to. Nothing they can feel secure about, isn't it? Therefore, for such people alone, this topic of creation is introduced. Even the worship, Ishvara, etc. have been introduced. But what they do cause some defects. They have some defects. The introduction of the topic of creation causes the defect means what? What is the consequence? They emotionally get entangled with the universe. The emotional entanglement with the universe means it is difficult to shift the dependence. It is difficult to shift the dependence from Bhagavan. I've been worshipping Savior, Protector. I am saved. I am protected. That, no, we always... Even the worshipper, devotee, deity relationship is very, very, you know, the different ways of worshipping Bhagavan also. Worshipping Bhagavan as father or mother. See, emotionally we relate to Bhagavan also in whatever way we want to. Sometimes Bhagavan is a friend for some people. Bhagavan is like a mother for some people. Bhagavan is like a father for some people. Like some elderly person. You know, emotionally they become very attached means they need. But later on what happens, that attachment to worship and form, worship and the murtis and jagat also becomes a big obstacle sometimes in attaining the vision of the oneness of the truth. Because this duality comes. I am the worshipper, Lord is the worshipped. Isn't it? Even though you are not dependent on the world for it, say, still what now? The world has been replaced by the Lord now. Now your dependence, you are still dependent. You are still not independent. You have shifted the dependence from the world to Bhagavan, but still you are dependent. You are not independent. You are still bound. And there is duality is there. That is what is the defect caused by the introduction of the universe and the Ishvara Upanishad. These are jati doshaha. Here Gaudapada Acharya calls it jati doshaha. Jati doshaha means the defect of, you know, the introduction of the topic of creation, introduction of Ishvara, you know, causes this defect. What is the defect? Emotional entanglement, dependence, isn't it? Still there is no independence. That is the defect. So, but even though they are defective, even though the topic of creation introduced is defective, causes some defects, even though it results in emotional entanglement with the Ishvara and all that, still, na setsyanti, this will not, these problems will not last forever. Slowly, slowly, when you come to Mandukya Upanishad, and you slowly you will grow out of that also, attachment also. What is that? Yes, yes. You resolve Ishvara in Brahma. everything is Ishvara. First you say everything is Bhagavan, Ishvara, then everything is Brahman, for Ishvara is also Brahman. Slowly you resolve Ishvara. Isn't it? It's okay. Even though they have some defects, still it is okay, because in the long run, you know, the continuous study will help you overcome that emotional entanglement with the murtis and Bhagavan, the Lord, the creation, everything. In fact, our emotional dependence on children, family, everything will slowly resolve. When it resolves, it does not mean you become like a stone. In fact, you will be the most expressive person of love. There will be expression of fullness all the time. There will be only love. That itself is different. That is different. Expression of fullness is love. The person who is reveling in fullness, his expression will be what? Only of love. Therefore, there's concern and affection will be there, care will be there, but still you are emotionally, absolutely independent. An emotionally free person. Isn't it? Therefore, doshaha api alpaha bhavishyati. That defect also, whatever defect is caused by this, you know, the topic of creation introduced in the Shastram, in the Ishvara, etc., all of them will slowly resolve. Understand? Next. Upalambhat samacharan. Maya hasti yathochyate. Upalambhat samacharat.
Upalambhat samacharat.
Asti vastu tathochyate.
Asti vastu tathochyate.
Here, Gaudapada Acharya introduces, with this verse I'll stop, then we'll continue. Introduces the magician's magic. He compares the world to the magicians. creation. And he talks about the hasti. Hasti means elephant. Tumbikayan. Hastaha means, the trunk is called hasta. Okay. Hasti means elephant here. Maya hasti means, it's not our, the Maya here in Vedanta. Maya hasti means the magician's, the elephant created by the magician. How? Using his magical skill, isn't it? His magician skill, trick, is called Maya Hasti. Now, Maya, suppose, imagine, if there is a magician who is showing the magic show, and there suddenly he presents in front of you an elephant. We would have seen so many other small things, no? If the magician comes and takes one hat and he shows the both the hats like this, we see definitely he shows very closely, there's nothing is inside the hat. And from he put the both the hats together, he takes them and from there, oh my God, pigeons go and all the birds fly. Such magic show we all would have seen. I never saw elephant, okay? But here Garupacharya says what? The magician here, he in his show, he brings in your friend, to the, he brings there, in the show, he big elephant. And then you see, my God, what a huge animal that is. A big animal, elephant, and it is real for you. You can't believe it is not real. But you know, after the show, there was no real elephant. Even while watching the show also, you may know, if you're a mature person, children may not. Children will be, for them it is real. They're so, my God, how this magician brought this elephant to the stage, you will be wondering. But you know very well, it is some trick. Maya hasti yatha, just as the magician's, the magical elephant, is what? Here, upalambat samacharat. Because it is experienced by you, the magic magician's elephant also is what? It is experienced by you. Upalambat, samacharat. And some trick is involved there. Isn't it? Something is involved. Because of that, this elephant shown or seen in the magic show is very mistaken as reality. Similarly, he says, upalambat samacharat. Asti vastu tathochyate. Because of the orderliness involved in this function of the jagat, and because of its being available for experience, this jagat is mistaken to be the reality. Why do we, when we are watching the magic show, how do we think the whatever is produced by the magician is real? It looks like real. It looks very real for us, because we are experiencing it. The same way, this jagat also is experienced, therefore, it is this, because the whole functioning within the realm of the order, it is mistaken to be the reality. Only one thing I should tell you. Jatyabhasam chalabhasam. Vastvabhasam tathaivacha ajachalama vastutvam vijnanam shantamadvayam. Okay. See, jati, learn these three words. Jati abhasaha, chala abhasaha, vastu abhasaha. Abhasaha, abhasaha means appearance. Jati abhasaha means appearance of creation, as though there is creation. Like when you see the waves, there is the origination of the waves. It looks, when you see the waves in the ocean, it looks as though there is origination of the waves, creation of the waves. emergence of the waves. Then, vastu abhasaha. Then, the waves which have originated, which have come into existence, continue to exist for some time. Isn't it? That's what existence, appearance of the origination or creation, appearance of the existence of the creation. Then afterwards what? The waves go back and resolve. There is appearance of the dissolution of the waves. In the ocean we see. Similarly here, this jati abhasaha means appearance of the creation and appearance of the existence of this universe, appearance of the dissolution of the universe. As though the universe originates, as though the universe exists, and as though the universe resolves. It is only abhasaha. It is only appearance. We do see waves come, waves remain, waves resolve. Waves come, waves exist, waves resolve. This coming into existence, then remaining existent, then resolving. What is this? Is happening or not? It is happening. It is happening. No. Shastram says what? It only is appearance. Therefore, it's all only. There's no real creation. Nothing has originated. Therefore, nothing is sustained, and nothing really resolves also. Something must have come into existence for something to resolve. What has originated for something to go back and resolve? It's all only appearance. Therefore, we give what? We say there is Ishvara, and from whom the Lord, from whom the universe has come into existence, the one by whom the universe is sustained, the one in whom the universe resolves, Trinity. And we give the Lord as what? Three different names for the only Lord. Three different functional names as what? Creator. Only Lord is given three different functional names. Creator of the universe, sustainer of the universe, the one in whom everything resolves. Isn't it? We give three different names also. Which means, we say there is, universe is created, universe is sustained, and universe is resolved. It's only appearance. Jati abhasaha. And then chala abhasaha means what? Coming and going is called chala abhasaha, dissolution. Vastu abhasaha means existence. Appearance of the creation of the universe, appearance of the existence of the universe, appearance of the resolution of the universe. Understand? It all appears. Really speaking, aja achalam, avastutvam. Really speaking, all that is there is uncreated, non-creating consciousness. And then achalam, unmoving. All pervasive, unmoving, immovable, all pervasive, unborn, non-creating consciousness. There is no, it's only appearance. So this is what the whole universe, we for us, all the movements are real, all the emotions are real. Isn't it? Time is real, space is real, all the changes and movements and motions which are happening are real. Is this universe seems to have been created, seems to be now sustained, and the universe seems to be, appears to be resolved. It is really speaking, there is no creation, there is no existence, there is no sustenance, there is no resolution, dissolution of it. There is only unmoving, unchanging, unchangeable, immovable, uncreated, non-creating consciousness. Okay? What is that? Vijnanam Advayam Shantam. All the noises are real, do you think? All the noises you hear, sounds you hear are real? Isn't it? In fact, the consciousness which is of the nature of silence is the only reality. All the noises are not outside of consciousness, the silence. We should not even say the silent consciousness. Which means you will say there's a noisy consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, consciousness itself is what? The silence. Shantam Advayam, the non-dual, secondless consciousness which is of the nature of silence and which does not originate, does not create, does not come into existence, does not go, and this consciousness alone is here. All this origination, existence and dissolution of the universe is only seeming, apparent reality. It is not really, it is not there. There is only Satyam Brahma. We will continue this particular verse again. Jatya Bhasaha, Chala Bhasaha, Vastva Bhasaha. This we will see again next class. Okay. Roger, do you want to ask some questions?
Yes, thank you. You spoke earlier about I being the substantive.
Yeah.
And consciousness the substance.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Pada Shankara, so this is what has been interesting me. He says that one first superimposes the ego notion onto the inmost self, the witness of all.
Yeah.
And then having done that, one proceeds and superimposes that inmost self onto the inner organ, the mind, and other factors of the individual personality. And it's the nature of the I that you're speaking about, this I, the substantive.
Yeah, when I say the I, when I say I, substantive, I is a, for me, it's a cognition. The very I itself is a cognition. I itself is a knowledge, manifest knowledge.
And is that I steady? It doesn't change.
Because I, the manifest knowledge, that I, it changes means what? There is a time it resolves, there's a time it is. Now, when we talk about this I, you know, we always refer to ourselves. What is the pronoun we use to refer to ourselves? I. That is why Shankar Bhagavatpa in his commentary, he says, when you define an object, what he says beautifully, anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. He says that. Which means I alone is a subject of knowledge. Which means that's why every time we refer to ourselves, we use this pronoun I, really speaking, what that I is. I actually is a cognition. I am also is another cognition. I is a cognition. And along with the I comes what? Am, isn't it? I am is also cognition. And am is not possible if there's no I cognition, isn't it? That's why we leave the am, take only I. I am implies I being there already, isn't it? So I is a cognition means it is manifest consciousness. Because any cognition is a thought plus consciousness. Consciousness is always there, does not arrive, does not depart, isn't it? And it's all pervasive. But when the thought comes, particular thought, vritti, aham vritti. Aham vritti comes, then there arises what? The cognition, I. So, I am vritti comes, then what I know? The cognition, I am. So, in this I am, what is I is now? Of these two things together constitute I. It is not just the pure consciousness, not just the vritti. Isn't it? Manifest consciousness. When you say I is manifest consciousness, that implies what? Consciousness plus manifesting medium, the thought, the vritti. So of these two, which are you? Where do you want to have your identity? Where do you want to resolve your identity? If you remove, no, it's sort of cognitive again, not physical. Therefore, if you say, what is manifest consciousness is what? Manifest consciousness is consciousness. That is why the consciousness obtaining as the sarupam of the I, the knower, is what? Substance of the substantive I. It is like saying the substance of the substantive illuminator is what? Light. There cannot be illuminator minus light. So when you use the term substantive illuminator, illuminator, we are using the term illuminator. Who is the illuminator here? Illuminator is only a temporarily used term, isn't it, from the standpoint of the objects illumined. And the illuminator is actually light, which means light is the substance of the substantive illuminator. And here we say the whole jagat is known, body is known, mind is known, sense organs are known, all the thoughts are known. You all the thoughts except the I cognition, I thought, all the thoughts are known here. And you come to I am the knower, you say. I am the knower. Who is the knower? Where can you place your I? You have to resolve the I only in the knower. Everything else is known, known, known. And who is the knower here? I am the knower. And finally, you have to say what? Who is this? You have to resolve the I in the knower. And the knower in consciousness. They have to finally, you have to say, I am consciousness. Or I is consciousness. Like wave is water means wave is the substantive for which substance is water. Similarly, there is no I as a term, something expressed, isn't it? I is a relative term which you use, like a wave. The term wave, how we use it? Similarly, I, when you refer to yourself, use the term I. That is why the cognition involves two aspects, the vritti and consciousness. And consciousness with the vritti gets the status what? Manifest. There is no, Puja Samaji does not like the word reflected consciousness. And he, in fact, he says there is no real manifest consciousness. There is just consciousness. The consciousness gets the name, the qualification as what? Manifest consciousness. You know, only when with the vritti. Like what? Like with the, only the light is the, just the light. There is no pure light and reflected light. But light gets the qualification as a reflected light when it is associated with the mic. Light plus mic, we say what? Reflected light. Then we resolve, finally we say reflection of the light. Similarly, consciousness plus vritti is what? Manifest consciousness. Then we say what? Manifestation of consciousness. The I is in fact the cognition which is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. Highest form of manifestation of consciousness. This, that, those, these, everything is manifestation of knowledge. All the objects, the pronoun these, those, that, this, it, everything is what? Manifestation of consciousness. And what is the highest form of manifestation of consciousness? I am. Amazing, isn't it? That's why Devi, I told many times, Asmita. Asmi means the I am. Aham Asmi. So the knowledge I am is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. So manifest knowledge is called, we say what? Manifestation of consciousness means manifestation of knowledge, pure knowledge. Isn't it? Pure knowledge manifest is what? The knower. Pure knowledge manifest is what? The knowledge. Pure knowledge manifest is what? The known universe. So all that is here is only the manifestation of knowledge. Arivin totrame anaitum. Manifestation knowledge. That's why, what is the substance if we search for? In fact, there's no substance other than consciousness. But how do you arrive at it? Even though consciousness is the only substance of these, those, that, this, everything, you, everything, but the consciousness being the only substance, you can arrive at only as the substance of the substantive I.
That's all very well. But how does one arrive at it fully? I've heard this many times.
Yeah.
And I'm still no wiser. Because I still, although I can understand intellectually what you're saying, that's it. It stops there.
That is what the impatience comes, the pratibandha comes. See, you that is why Nyamandukya, what should we do? We had to start from again.
You said 2 weeks ago, I remember you saying that the I, what's going to become very clear to me is that this I, relative to everything else, my body and my thoughts, this I is a constant, relative to everything else.
This I also, Rajaji, what happens? In deep sleep state,
yeah.
Where is this I?
It's gone.
Gone. In dream also, different I.
Yeah, I know it's not constant, but in the waking state, it has a constancy.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone's looking for. Is constant.
Because, why? Because the knower must be constantly there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knower is constant, the known are different, changing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Without the known, the known being different and changing itself is possible, recognizable, because of the knower being one and the same.
Well, 2 weeks ago you said that the I has to be resolved or taken and put, I think if I get it rightly, and put in the consciousness.
No, what I said, I has to be resolved, dragged and put, resolved in consciousness means, initially when we are very, in the beginning, even later life, I am going means naturally our identity. I is identified with what? Body.
Yeah.
Relatively, we have to have identity with everything. But absolutely, we have to have the cognitive appreciation of the body is not the actually substance or substantive I. Like when you say mic, a substance, isn't it? Like the body is not a substance. Then you drag it. Means what? It's a cognitive shift. It's not physically doing anything. So cognitively shift the I sense from the body because you know it as an object of knowledge. That is what I mean. When you understand everything as an object of knowledge, you shift the I, the known, to the knower. And you finally, you resolve the I in the knower. And you search for the knower. There's no knower other than consciousness. Then you resolve the I in the consciousness. That's what I said.
That's useful. Thank you.
See, I always said drag means what? Because it's very difficult for us to shift the I sense from body, mind, sense, complex to consciousness. It is not physical, nothing to be done physically. It is cognitive, isn't it? It's a cognitive shift, I said. We drag means, it's not that easy. As Adiji says, I've been listening, I think it means not that easy. We do understand. That is why something called Nididhyasana is suggested. Why Nididhyasana? All the time, can you see, first of all, Mandukya Upanishad class, we have to understand. Of course, we understand because of our inclination, interest, and commitment, we do understand. And afterwards, all the time, we have to remember that, retain that, all the time, what is understood as a fact. The teaching does not contradict your reasoning. Therefore, it is acceptable for you. it contradicts your reasoning, you will not be sitting in the class. Definitely. Then you understand it definitely. Understanding is there, but how much I do dwell upon it. See, what we need is dwelling upon. That's what I told even that boy. Aditya was saying, no, only youth can attract youth. Youth can attract youth. Yes, I said, of course, I'm old. I can't attract the youth. That's your job. You have to attract the youth. But even here, now our jobs are different. We are not going to be running around almost. This class is now, we have to help. Only I'm waiting for this Mandukyam to be completed. Then we have to have once you have some understanding of a lot of things, I'm going to summarize the Mandukya Upanishad classes. Then we have to have sessions on contemplation. See, that is, people ask me, when are you going to teach meditation? I cannot do meditation. I have not taught you what is, first of all, what consciousness is must become very clear, isn't it? The thing is, this universe is so gross, so tangible, experience, isn't it? And then, it is very difficult for us to say this world is not real. World is not there. Very difficult, not easy. Which means you have to really see the satyatvam of consciousness. How consciousness is the reality that has become very clear for us to be able to see the mithyatvam of the jagat. It's not that easy. Because now after some time you will say, I'm very hungry. It is not mithya, it is satya. We'll all say that. Nobody, if I keep talking, who will listen to me? I'll get up and run away because we know how satyam the class is and how satyam the hunger is, appetite is, isn't it? What is that? We can, but still, here is only to understand, it's only for emotional independence, isn't it? It is not for, see, relatively, whatever is there, you have to do to keep ourselves comfortable. That's a different thing. But absolutely, speaking, there is only Brahma that has to be clear means. That's a repeated listening. See, teaching itself is not complete. How can you go for contemplation? But sometimes the listening is the more you listen, the more enhancing the clarity is. Then what happens is some joy, sometimes frustration. Oh my God, really you are in a hurry to get it. That doesn't happen. But tell you, every minute, every piece, fraction of second you spend in Shastra study is a fruitful time. It is not a waste of time. Because you are with the Shastram, your mind is with the Shastra means you don't know the abundance of the sukshma vrittis you are accumulating in your subconscious. They'll all surface. Don't worry. There'll be time they'll surface. The Nidhyasana will be happening in your subconscious. That is why the more we give our mind time to other thinking, whatever you are thinking, those things will be, without our knowledge, will go into our subconscious. And what has gone in will again surface. That is why I taught you when I was doing Drik Trishi Viveka, I told you what is the Nididhyasa method I taught you. Better not to give time for anything unnecessary, unwanted and useless. Sometimes in spite of our effort also it may happen. So all the time, I can't tell people who are very young or who are still working and still in, they have to listen and go, that's okay. But what I mean here is, after a certain age, when you can spare more time for the Shastram, and really, the more the time we spend with Shastram is the time we spend with yourself. Initially, we'll say, the time we spent in prayer, for prayer, or in the worship with Bhagavan is time you spend with yourself. The prayer and worship also is what? An indirect way of helping you to be with yourself. It's all slow preparation for you to be by yourself. Nothing is in front of you. Understand, you are just you are. There's nothing other than yourself. But you need at least some murtis. Not your... That's why, that also make it very noisy nowadays. So you just sit, you are with yourself. And that is shift that to what of Shastram. When you are with Shastram, you are just with yourself. You are more with your own real self. When you are not with Shastram, you are not with the real self. In Shastra class, what happens? You are all the time, your Swarupam is reminded. You are knower, not anything known. You are different, distinct from the known. But you, the knower, or nothing but consciousness. There is not, that is, you are reminded again and again and again and again, you are tattvamasi, tattvamasi, you are consciousness, you are the knower, you the knower are consciousness. That is repeated. In fact, first of all, the knower known difference, distinction, is a big deal. Even though 1,000 times one might have heard this drik drishi veka prakriya. And immediately after the very first time, people will come out and say, I am not the body. They've understood that. Understanding that itself, they'll think, oh, big achievement, I am not the body. Shastram is not taught for you to say, I am not the body. It is for you to understand and what you are finally. In fact, sometimes I am not the body means, and what are you then? Isn't it? Shifting I sense is easy, but you have, where will you put it otherwise? That is why Swamiji doesn't like that. You know, people come out of the first Vedanta class. I'm not the body. I'm not the mind. Like that. That's okay. It's all for understanding. It's only for understanding. Inside the classroom, you can say all these things. Outside the classroom, you shut. I'm a. You have to be very practical. At the same, it is all for our, you know, cognitive thing, change. So I am the, understand is, I am the knower. That should become first clear. I am the knower. I is knower. I is not the known. That should become very clear. I am the knower. I is not the known. I is only the knower should become very clear. Oh yeah, you say I is easy way to understand. Then when you can say I am the knower means the knower, who this knower is, what I am, then you arrive at it. That's only way of arriving at the true. Nanya pantha vidyate yanaya. There's no other way of arriving at the truth. That is why we need Upanishad. I is not the object of knowledge. I is subject of knowledge from the standpoint of the object, the world. And when you distinguish the knower, you are shifting that knower I from the even so revered, your highly, the glorified body, mind sense complex, and you place it abstract, that is. Isn't it? Suppose when you say illuminator, it's abstract word. Where is the illuminator? There's no physical form for the illuminator. It only just is, isn't it? It's a qualification for some reality. Similarly, knower is some temporary qualification for the reality. Therefore, the I is also what? The manifestation. Then you resolve it where? Only in awareness. That is why, first of all, the repeated listening will help you understand the teaching. What is complete teaching should become very clear. Keep on listening. Now itself some clarity must have come. Then what happens now? Repeated dwelling alone will help you. Any doubt? Sometimes it will be like that. We'll keep listening. Okay?
Sorry. When you say you have to drag the I, would you say you have to eliminate your ego?
No. We can't eliminate our ego. When I say you drag the I,
yeah,
what I'm saying, when understanding the body being an object of knowledge, understanding the I being the subject of knowledge, you shift the I sense from the body, cognitively. The cognitively shifting the I sense. Okay, I am the knower means, the knower is different from what? Anything known, isn't it? Therefore, as I, you see the I as the knower, subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is different from the object of knowledge. That is, you differentiate cognitively. The cognitive differentiation of the knower from the known is called, I said, drag it. Mm-hmm. Because I is so engrossed in this body, rooted in this body. If I am the body that knows, very much involved, unnaturally there, therefore, it needs lot of exercise for us to shift it, isn't it? Then this has to be something very abstract, that is. I am the knower, different from the known itself. When you see, you do not see yourself as the body first, isn't it? do you have become being objected towards one's body is a very big thing. See, very objected towards the world is very difficult. Being objective towards the body is difficult. Now, what is more difficult? Being objective towards your own physiological functions. Being objective towards your mind is the most difficult thing. You will always internalize. You can never be easily objective towards your mind. Can you see your jealousy, anger, desire objectively? Or desire is like how you see the wave is, chair is, Rodnage is, doctor is, the door is, house is, the trees are, the nature is, sun is, moon is, light is, desire is, anger is, jealousy is, hatred is. Can you say it is? But what do you say? I am angry, why do you say? Because we are not objective. It is not that easy to be objective towards one's mind. Being objective towards one's mind implies what? One having resolved one's essence in consciousness, which is one's clear, doubt-free understanding of the substance of the substantive being nothing but consciousness. In fact, once you say consciousness, all the terms also resolve. Substance, substantive, I, you leave all those words. You just say, just consciousness. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.